I just want to tell you something quickly. I teach at Glasgow School of Art, and over this last 2 weeks we've been doing these presentations with the fourth year, and they've been talking about their projects that they've been working on, exhibitions and public art projects. They had to give a 10-minute presentation, and then there was 10 minutes for questions and answers from the rest of the peer group. And without exception, everybody didn't know how to end the presentation. It was like they got to the end and they were like, sorry, that's it, it's all over. And when I was coming in the train today, I was thinking, oh God, I need to think about how to end. What am I going to end it with? So that's why that one was picked in particular, because that was the end. There was no more.
It worked. It was good. Can you hear us? Yeah. Right, oh good. That was brilliant. Thank you so much. I was completely entranced. I don't know if everybody else was, but I certainly was. These chairs are ridiculously uncomfortable. How do you sit in them?
It's the best we can do.
Some kind of awkward body shape.
On casual seats.
Anyway, we'll do our best. I was thinking throughout your talk, well, right at the beginning or towards the beginning, you showed that image of the, it was the image of Catalan's gap, the gap between the pen and the ink running out. And I kept thinking about that in terms of everything that you were talking about. And I wanted to ask you in particular about the notion of that kind of conceptual gap in relation to women's voices, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I've kind of ended up coming down on, I suppose, or thinking about more, particularly in relation to what you were talking about. Is there a way you could articulate that?
I think it totally is. I think the Scottish Parliament Commission was absolutely about their women's voice not being included in that Canongate wall. And that was just one very obvious example of that. Within the Glasgow Women's Library STAR project, that was slightly different, because it was a way of trying to, the women's voices were in there. It was just trying to pull them out and finding what was the best way to pull them out. And this Pollock House project is absolutely about there being nothing there in terms of contextualising the woman within the house, other than through their patriarchal link. So, the Scottish Parliament Commission was the first time that I ever made work that was all only you thinking about women within it. And there are, I mean, quite a few of the projects have kind of drawn on that same resource. And it's kind of interesting. I think about it often. I think about, is that the only thing that I'm interested in making work about? And it's not. It's a big part of it. But it's, I guess, the maps. And the mapping is a way of also stepping outside of that and thinking about things more broadly.
How do you think that's... Because I feel like there's a shift taking place. I don't know if anybody else does, but things are starting to happen, aren't they? Especially around things like the Me Too movement and then, you know, other kind of things that's kind of just happening in the film industry particularly, but beyond that, do you think that's starting to happen within art, within visual art, the same kind of shift? I'm kind of going off on a bit of a tangent here, but I'm interested in your position as a female artist.
I think I can definitely feel it within the student body in Glasgow. That's where I feel it most. There's a real sense of a voice being developed and being heard and being taken seriously. Within the kind of contemporary art world, I think it's probably in the younger generation where that feels more palpable.
I think that's true. I think that's true here with us as well, probably. Yes. Yeah. What I'm going to do is chuck it open and see if there are any questions that people want to ask.
I was just wondering if you felt, as a woman observing these paintings in Pollock House, if you felt like human kind of connection to the women in the paintings, as to how they're kind of represented in such a formal way. And for you, as a woman who can speak openly and vote, like how you felt about that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't tend to go to places like Pollock House because I don't really have a connection with them. I kind of feel like there's an austerity and a privilege, and there's a whole set of things that are part of that that I don't have a connection with or feel kind of removed from. So it's been interesting being based in a place like Pollock House for this past year, and the challenge is to try and find a way into it. So through time and through the research, you do of course feel a connection developing with the subject that you're working with. And so I do feel that for every single one of the 18 portraits that are going to be part of the tour. And just the way that the women have written about them totally opens them up in a different... I've looked at them so closely over this last 6 months. But then, like in the workshop earlier today, when someone else looks at it and writes about it, it opens up a very different window into what that portrait is. So, yes. Yeah.
I was just wondering how you actually made the pottery writing. How did you actually?
So I had to... It took the handwritten sentences, and I had to draw around them digitally. This is another thing you learn as well. As well as there being millions of pieces to a sentence, whenever you come to have to cut it, it's got two lines. It's not just one line. It's got an outside line and it's got an inside line. So you've got to trace that digitally, and then they were taken. I took them to a laser cutter who I made big slabs of tile, and he cut them with a laser cutter, and then we hand glazed them. Each of the single wee parts hand glazed and fired. So a series of the hand drawn first of all, then the digital, the scanning, then the digital drawing, then the laser cutting, and then the glazing and firing.
Do you find that as an artist, because you've come up with that way of working or that idea for that particular moment, it's like you have to invent the whole thing, the whole process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how tricky that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time. It's a problem with not having a specialism. I look at people who have specialisms and who do the same thing, who have this long history of making art, and they do the same thing over and over again, and I think, wouldn't that be brilliant? And then I think, no, actually, that wouldn't be brilliant. I'd be really, really bored and kind of frustrated with it. But the consequence is that for every project that you do, I have to find something that makes sense within the context of the space in terms of the form that the work takes. So it means you have to try and learn methods and processes of making as well as everything else.
It's like you have to be the inventor of those processes as well, don't you? Any more questions? See any hands?
Duncan.
Thank you, Sean. It's great.
You're welcome.
To hear it. It's a question probably connected to some of the others. It's something you, at the beginning you talked about.
Could you use the microphone? Because
sorry.
We need to have record it. Thank you.
At the beginning of the.
There's a button. Press it on. Press the button till it goes green. You have to hold it down till it goes green.
Is that it?
Yeah. Thank you.
There's something at the beginning you talk about. In a world that's disputing fact, news, fake news, truth, that the methods that you are talking about are all about not knowing, about uncertainty, about unfixing, about unresolving. I'm just wondering how that fits when you use the word conflict, and that's a very complicated word for me, about whose conflict are we talking about, your position in relation to that conflict. But it's just something about what art has always seems to be doing is not trying to say something. And what does that mean for you in a world where, again, clearly we have this huge political question about truth, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
And what position you're adopting or hoping to adopt through the art you're making in relation to that.
Because
you do very clearly not want to talk in terms of fixed things all the time.
Yeah, if there's a, there is a, internal paradox with that, that you, that on one hand, acknowledging the freedom and liberty that comes with not knowing, and adopting that as a position to have, at the same time as really wanting to have a voice and wanting to create a space for other people to have a voice. So if I'm interested in not knowing and uncertainty, but also having a voice, then does that mean that the voice is always uncertain and not knowing? And I don't think it is. I think it by the nature of having lots of people or lots of voices together, then there that generates a sense of knowledge or a body of knowledge that's not about one singular position, but multiple. Duncan, does that answer?
I like the multiple. Definitely.
Thank you so much. I'm the one political scientist in the room and greatly appreciated the talk, thank you. And I have a question about the Scottish Parliament in Edinburgh. Fascinating piece, I was just there, appreciated greatly. But my question is about the background of the 100 women that you worked with. Scotland is obviously an incredibly diverse place. How diverse was the group of women in terms of ethnicity, racial background, etc.? And how does that comment on Scotland today or the imaginaries of Scotland in the past?
I think it's there in the work. I think when you read it, you can hear some of the texts talk about Scots African women. Some people have written in Punjabi. There's different voices that come through whenever you're reading the text. The thing that's not there along with the work is a list of the names of the people who've contributed to it, and that was really intentionally done because I didn't want the work to be about this 100 women, full stop. I wanted anybody to be able to come and kind of find a way into it, so it was about much more than that. But even without the names, and the names probably give you a sense of that diversity that you're talking about in a very kind of real way, I think you can still read it in the work in terms of what it is that's been said. And in some of the things, that, in the way things are being said, in the language that's been used, and in the words that are being used. But it was a really important part. It was something I was very aware of whenever I was making the work.
So this just might be followed up by a political scientist's analysis.
You know, one of the sentence by the Jess, who was the Scottish tinker. That was really difficult. It was very difficult to get someone from that community, in, because they're very private and she told me this herself, that it's they don't like to be connected and to be represented and outside of their own terms. So that was someone passed me on to her, and we had a lot of conversation. Probably I had quite a bit of conversation with Jess. About probably quite a bit more than with other people, just in terms of gaining her confidence and her trust in me and trust in the work. And that for me, that was a real success that she agreed to be part of it and to write something for it.
Can I pick up on something about the Scottish Parliament piece as well? I was sort of really aware that you're an outsider, effectively, in that process. And I wondered, because I've been in a similar situation, and I wondered how you felt about that, or how you feel about that, having made that piece of work. Mm.
I wrote one of the sentences in it. Mm. And the same with the Pollock House project, I've written one of the texts for it. So I think it's by being there in the work makes me less of an outsider. And just makes me part of the community of the part of the whole, part of the multiplicity of voices that are there.
Yeah. Got any more questions?
I don't know if it's a question, but rather than multiplicity of voices, something is resounding or a little bit echoing me. A term I like very much, which the philosopher Jean-Luc Nancy uses, which is the singular plural, which allows for individuation and multiplicity. And I wonder if that might also do a little echo in the voice. Just come from left field, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. It's interesting because the work, there's this singular thing that happens in the form of the work. But yeah, there are so many layers within it that, yeah, it's interesting to think about.
No more questions. Are we done, do you think? Sharon, where do we normally go for a drink?
We go to the Red Lion.
Yes.
Because it's got a snug.
Yes. That's usually quite cold. but a coolish snug, it's fine.
No, a warm snug and cheap drinks.
Yeah. So
what more could you ask?
And Chris.
So everyone is warmly invited there.
Yeah. So we'll be repairing to the snug in the Red Lion if you want to carry on the conversation, if you want to say anything.
Which is opposite Charles Street Lecture.
Yeah, where we were last semester. Okay.
Fine.
But can I just say thank you very much, Shauna, for being our guest and for doing a wonderful presentation. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.